Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Always good to be joined by my faithful producer, Brendan Thomas. Brendan, what's on your radar today?
Well, thank you, Bob. How are you doing tonight, by the way?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome, awesome. Commenting on your sock monologue from earlier. I remember watching Shark Tank, which is a show about entrepreneurs trying to show off products to billionaires to see if they can invest in their business. And one guy invented the thrice, which is not one, not two, but three socks in one package. So that way, if you lose one... Exactly. I was thinking, man, he's got a good point. And then the billionaires were like, well, do you have a patent in on it? Because if not, sock companies will just take over your years. Like, oh, I don't have that. So,
but well, I know it's not me. I've heard other people talk about this for years. It's quite a phenomenon.
I know. For most of my socks, they just get really holy. And I'm like, okay, I need to throw them away now. Or I turn them into a dust kind of thing. So anyways, today I wanted to talk about a movie that just recently came out, and I got to see it on Friday, which was Elvis.
I have seen that advertised. I have not seen the movie. I don't know anything about it. I do normally like these biography movies, this making of the man kind of movie. So yeah, tell us about it.
Well, I personally, I'm more of a fan of documentary style kind of biofilms.
Like really? Oh, yes. I like the kinds where there's actors and things.
Really?
And even though they take liberties, if it's well done enough, it just inspires me to go out and research the more documentary style.
I understand. I just like the authenticity that comes off of documentaries, like, wow, that's how this artist really acted there, or other situations that'll come about in those artists' lives.
As long as the people doing the drama are admitting that they took liberties, I don't have a problem. If it's somebody like Oliver Stone that swears every word is true when he can't really back it up, that's another story.
Yeah, different story entirely. So, this was directed by Baz Luhrmann. I'm not a huge fan of him as a director. I haven't seen Strictly Ballroom, which was his first film. I definitely seen Romeo and Juliet. I didn't like that rendition very much. That was the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. And
was that the one that was set more in modern times?
Correct, yeah.
So it was West Side Story without the music, basically.
Exactly, yeah. Set in modern 90s time, but they still used old English with their dialect and everything. It was creative, I'll give it that, but unfortunately, I don't think it really worked well in terms of a whole movie experience.
Well, wouldn't using the old English kind to defeat the purpose of setting it in modern times?
It was supposed to be a stylistic representation, like a different kind of style to the whole film. And for me, it just didn't work out for me. But I understand if other people like it.
Stylistic or stupid, as some of us call it.
Yes, exactly. After that, he did Moulin Rouge. I'm not a huge fan of that movie.
I didn't care for that because it wasn't a true musical. They just used pop music that already existed and incorporated. I like a musical where they write the songs just for that
story. Some original stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind the songs that they chose in the movie, personally.
No, there was no problem with that. It was just the fact that they were using outside music. Plus, I didn't think it was a great story.
I was going to get that too. I was going to say the story to me was also very weak. And
what it did accomplish is it brought back the movie musical, because the movie musical was all but dead before Moulin Rouge came along. So I did appreciate that.
Absolutely. And look how many good movie musicals came that afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
So I will give that credit. But again, I personally think there's better movies you could watch if you want a movie musical than Moulin Rouge. After that, he did Australia, which that had Hugh Jackman in the starring role. And
Hugh Jackman's a great actor, but I don't know anything about this particular movie.
As a singer, though, that's a different story. I'm not a huge fan of
him. Did you see him in
Greatest Showman?
Yeah, I thought his singing was okay.
I couldn't stand it.
I loved Greatest Showman.
You
liked the movie. Didn't like his singing.
Hugh Jackman's scene is just not very my case.
For you, there were other people that sang. That's also, right. That, and some of them were phenomenal singers.
I know.
That woman that was supposed to be the operetta singer. She was fantastic.
Absolutely. Maybe we should do a whole movie review on that one next time. But
yeah, well, that was quite the story. I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, but that wasn't totally true, I bet, right?
They took liberties, but certainly they were catching the spirit of P.T. Barnum, absolutely.
And then lastly, after that, he did The Great Gatsby.
Didn't see that.
I love the book. The book is really, really good. I had to read that during my middle school years when
the only thing I remember about that book is when Andy Kaufman went to Arizona State University and he messed with the people, and instead of doing a stand-up comedy, he read the entire novel Great Gatsby, and there were like a whole 10 people still in the theater when he was done.
It sounds like an Andy Kaufman
thing. Oh, that's exactly the kind of thing Andy Kaufman would do. And we laugh about it now, but the people that paid money to go and hoping they were going to be entertained, they were
not. Are you kidding me? I would love to pay $20.
Well, it would just, if you understand that messing with their heads is part of his style, then yeah.
He's supposed to be anti-humor. It's funny because it's not supposed to be funny. That's the whole shtick of him.
You just got to give him credit for originality and daring. But anyway, I'm getting us on a tangent.
No.
But
it's perfect.
That was my experience with The Great Gatsby.
No.
Watching on film Andy Kaufman doing that. And of course, Jim Carrey in the movie Man in the Moon did a rendition of that scene too.
So I've seen both.
I've seen the real Andy Kaufman, or at least a snippet of it, doing the real reading. Oh, you should see the movie Man in the Moon. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan. He did a phenomenal job. After a while, you really think you're watching Andy Kaufman.
Is it more dramatic, it sounds like?
It's got drama, but a lot of humor in it too. Okay. It's really, it's excellent.
I'll take a look at that one.
By Danny DeVito. It's a wonderful movie.
Really? I'm imagining a lot of dark humor in that, because most of Danny DeVito's movies and have a lot of dark humor.
The only flaw in it is they went through his days with Taxi, and they brought in the real Taxi actors, but they were so much older than they would have looked in the time that they're filming that it didn't work too well, even though I appreciated that they were trying to be authentic.
I'll take a look and see.
Oh my gosh, I loved it. I loved Man on the Moon. And he won the Golden Globe Award for Best Actor in that role.
Oh, Jim Carrey did?
Jim Carrey did,
nice.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So going back to The Great Gatsby, the movie itself, I think production-wise, it's really stylistic, really cool looking. I think the actors tried their very best, but in terms of doing a rendition to that novel, it's not very good, but as per usual, you know, the novel's usually better than the movies.
I really think the miniseries is the best vehicle for dramatizing a novel. A whole novel done as a two-hour movie usually just cannot possibly work.
I'm trying to think of any miniseries that were better than the books too.
Now I don't know about them being better, but being just as good. The Winds of War and War and Remembrance were excellent. Roots was, I thought the dramatization of Roots was better than the novel.
See, I think the novel's better. I don't mind the dramatization of it because I thought it was really good too, but the novel of Roots I think is still a little bit better between the two.
Well, of course you have the novelty of that novel. There's never been a novelty novel written like that before, and the research he did to look up his own roots was fantastic.
Absolutely. So getting into this Elvis movie, I would say I was kind of mixed on it because on the one hand, I am a huge fan of Elvis Presley. I think as an entertainer, there's nobody that was like him ever in our entire lives. Like,
he's an interesting enigma because I remember when the Beatles came out, and I grew up in the 60s. When the Beatles came out, Elvis became a has-been, and we just all assumed that for decades to come, people would be talking about the Beatles. Mm-hmm. But you can meet people today who don't even know who the Beatles are, or at the very most, they have just a vague understanding of them. And Elvis just became huger and huger and huger over the years. So he is definitely considered, I'm not a huge Elvis fan, but he is definitely considered the king of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And he far eclipsed the Beatles and anybody that ever came after.
Especially if you look at how many records he sold throughout his whole career. I mean, there's nobody else that compares to him at all when it comes to those kind of numbers.
Yeah, and then he made those movies. And then, of course, he got drafted. They made a whole Broadway musical turned into a movie called Bye Bye Birdie that was supposed to be about Elvis being drafted, only they changed the name of the rock singer in the movie. They called him Comrade Birdie, but it was really the story of Elvis being drafted into the army.
Okay, because the movie says it kind of differently here. So the movie stars Austin Butler as Elvis and Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker. Those two guys put in a performance of a lifetime.
Tom Hanks is always good.
I even talked to Shelley, my wife, after the movie, and I went, is there a movie where Tom Hanks didn't act well at all?
Now, there are Tom Hanks movies that I did not like, but I still would say that he did a very good job of acting in those movies.
Joe versus the Volcano for me,
I hated that.
I know.
But that doesn't mean Tom Hanks wasn't good.
He was really good
in it. He did the best he could with horrible material.
I'm trying to think of one movie at all in Tom Hanks' filmography. I know you don't like Forrest Gump, but I think he puts in a really good performance.
He does, but I still can't stand
I know. Did you hear that they made a Bollywood remake of Forrest Gump? It just came out this weekend.
A remake? Uh-huh. Who stars in the role?
It's an Indian remake.
Oh, remake.
Yeah, it's an Indian one. It's from India, and it's a Forrest Gump remake. I haven't got a chance to see it because I don't have 3.5 hours to sit down.
Now, do they call it Forrest Gump, or is it just a similar story?
It's under another title, but I don't want to say the title because it's I don't want to butcher the dialect or anything like that. But anyways, Austin Butler, honestly, when you're watching the movie, you're almost thinking that that is the real Elvis, in all honesty. He really does do a good job. Tom Hanks, of course, does a really good job. Helen Thompson plays Elvis's mom, and she does a really, really nice job. And there's also Richard Roxburgh.
Now, you said Helen Thompson. That's not Emma Thompson?
No, not Emma Thompson.
I'm not familiar with Helen
I'm not familiar
Thompson.
With her on the top of my head, but all I know is that she really stood out really huge time player in this movie. So performances are all fantastic. I love the production again because it's really stylish.
Now, does it start like at the beginning of his life and how he rose to fame and then how everything fell apart?
It starts like usual where you start in the middle of the film.
Do they do a lot of flashbacks in it?
They start off on a flashback until you get back to your original scene and everything.
I like flashbacks if they have them in one place or two. If they keep jumping back and forth between flashbacks and the present, people get lost.
A lot of indie films do that for
sure. I know, they're being cute with the camera and the technique, I think the audience would prefer a more linear story.
This was definitely linear, although it's very strange at the same time, because you'll occasionally cut to Colonel Tom Parker, who's, I guess, in his deathbed, but he's also in the casino as a really
old man.
Now,
is that someone Elvis knew when he was drafted into the military, this colonel, or is this just, okay.
Yeah. Well, so what happens is, the whole point of the story is to tell it from Colonel Tom Parker's side.
Oh, I see.
Which is a kind of a different way of looking at the Elvis story. And I'm like, okay. So, and he's like, I didn't. A lot of people say I killed Elvis, but here's how I didn't. Unfortunately, I would say the story doesn't do a very good job convincing me that it wasn't Colonel Tom Parker's fault. So the movie actually begins with Colonel Tom Parker is with a very famous country artist, and he's starting to lose crowds. And he's like, I need a next new young talent. And the country artist's son starts playing this other kind of artist. And he's like, what is that? And he says, well, that's what the new kids are all listening to. And he's hearing it from teenager cars, like left and right in the parking lot. And so they go to try to find this guy, and they're able to find him, and they bring him on to a radio station to perform live on the air. And he's all dressed up in pink, an outfit, and he has eye makeup on. And as soon as he starts shaking his hips, all the girls in the crowd are going extremely wild. And the guys are like, I don't know how to feel about this guy. This guy's pretty weird. And all of a sudden, Colonel Tom Parker is like, oh, I can make money off of this. So he makes him sign an exclusive contract, and he has his father become his business manager. And I believe all of this stuff is so far so true. I'm like believing most of what they're saying. They do cut away one more time just to show that what he was like as a child, because he was growing up in Tulupo, Mississippi, is that right?
Not familiar with that term.
I know it's in Mississippi, and he was hanging, and he actually had to live in a ghetto area, and so during that time, he grew up with a lot of black music, so that's how he got to hear a lot of blues music and R&B music, and he started to really, really enjoy that. Oh, and gospel music, that was a huge aspect of his music as well. And so what he decided to do was, from that point on, he decided to start covering a lot of these songs, and actually grew a market in Memphis, Tennessee, and it started to spread all over America. So all that, I'm like, okay, I can follow through on everything what you're saying to me. I question a little bit about the validity of whether these black artists really accepted him. Now, I'm not saying like he wasn't friends.
Well, back then, maybe. Today, they'd claim he was hijacking their culture.
That's what I was
saying. Cultural appropriation. There was no such term back in those days. That's just a new woke idea.
Like they have a guy playing B.B. Keen in the movie, and he's like, dude, you should do a cover of this song. It'll sell better than me, obviously, because you're a white guy and you're
back in those days, a black man that was being imitated by a white man, that was viewed as a compliment, that was viewed as a homage to their culture.
Really? Because
I don't mean the ridiculous things like wearing black face. I just mean just things about the culture that they appreciated.
I understand that. I just thought during the time, I thought they were pretty upset with him. I thought
they were stealing
his music.
I suppose that may be as far as Elvis was concerned, but I'm just saying, I know in general, in those those times, there wasn't this big movement about cultural appropriation.
Gotcha.
Whether Elvis personally had some issue with some people over that, that's very possible. I don't know much about the man.
I gotcha. Okay. So this leads up to one of my cons in the movie. The very first hour of this movie moves at such a brisk pace. The editing is flashing and it's in your face and you're like, whoa, 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 slow down. And then all of a sudden, 2 hours start slowing down
when you're moving over a lot of years, I think you need to start slow and get to know the characters, and then maybe later start moving up the pace if you have a whole lifetime to get through. But you have to slow it down enough somewhere to get into the characterization of
people,
or you won't care about the people.
A good example of that is Priscilla is in the movie, but you barely get to know her. They get to meet all of a sudden randomly, and they have a daughter all of a sudden, and they get married. I would love to get to know some more background.
That's going way too fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Another thing I didn't really like was they integrated some hip-hop music into the movie itself. Hip-hop wasn't
created. Of course, long before there was any hip-hop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could probably put it into the credits, but into the actual movie, it doesn't integrate very well because you're in the middle of the 50s right now. And again,
some bozo on the board must have thought that was a way to appeal to the present-day audience or something, but it sounds like a lame decision.
I agree. I would say still, overall, knowing about the history of Elvis, and at least the history that I know of, I still think this movie does a pretty decent job. There's a lot of lines that are repeated over and over again from Colonel Tom Parker, where he's like, oh, all these hippies started to put really bad political thoughts in his head, because this was during the time of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being shot, Robert Kennedy being shot as well.
And I don't believe Elvis was quite as big during those days of the latter 60s.
They said during those things, he was filming the comeback special
that was supposed
to come on. Yeah. Originally, the comeback special was supposed to be just a holiday special, but Elvis convinced the studio, no, I want to do my own thing. And Colonel Tom Parker got really upset with him during this whole situation. And I'm not sure whether they're saying Colonel Tom Parker wasn't for civil rights either. I'm kind of confused on that kind of muddle message. Every time one of those kind of events came by, he turned off the TV and he's trying to talk to Elvis like, hey, we need to do this advertising or this sponsorship in order for us to make some money around here, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not entirely sure if they're trying to hint that he was being racist or if he was against these kind of civil rights things. Maybe for the time he was, and now he would have been different. But either way, I would say this is definitely his best movie, Baz Luhrmann's best movie. I'm still giving it a mixed review. I think there's better representations of Elvis. And again, I will not deny Austin Butler and Tom Hanks do a fantastic job.
Well, it's too bad because he's such a phenomenon that a really good biography of his life is called for.
I think so too. So overall, I was going to give it a 7 out of 10, but now talking about it, I think I'm going to go down to a 6 out of 10. But I
just talking about it and
just
the
talking about it now. Yeah, I was
helped you lower the score. Huh?
Yeah, heavy 6, light 7 in that area. If you are interested, it will come out. It's still in theaters, but it'll come out on DVD in about a couple weeks from now. So if you want to go listen to it, then you're more than welcome to go listen to it or watch it. Excuse me. You'll definitely enjoy the performances. Their Elvis renditions songs are fantastic. Austin Butler does a great impression of him, and he could sing very well and project.
Now, at the end of the movie, during the credits, do they play music from the real Elvis off the real soundtrack? That's usually
Done. They actually integrate actual footage of Elvis during his last performance he ever did before he passed away at the age of 42, if I remember right his age. That's what the movie said. So again, decent movie. If you want to go out and watch it, go for it.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.